This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome one and all, to the dead end in which all the bad ideas of the internet end up sooner or later. This is
We are the angel fire of bad ideas.
That's right. That's right. This is No Bad Ideas, the show where each host brings in a bad idea to try to terrify and shock the other two, and then gives them just 10 minutes, just 10 very short minutes to try to turn it into a good story, or at least a pitch for a good story. Or at least the beginnings of the pitch to what one day might be a good story.
Hopefully, maybe.
Zach, Sarah, how are you guys feeling? Are you excited to try to spin some gold out of nothingness?
Very, very much so. Especially with the somethingness that I've brought to us for our first idea.
Ooh. Mm.
How scared should we be, Zach?
Oh, I think you should be very excited. This is like
That's not what I asked.
Christmas present level headlines.
Okay.
All right. I don't think I've ever been so immediately like, oh man. But here we go. Without further ado, from Canada, Toronto, the Globe and Mail. Mm-hmm. Stylish but illegal monkey found roaming Toronto IKEA.
What an icon.
And there's
all of those words are great.
A link in the description for the adorably perplexed looking monkey in a very fancy winter jacket.
Oh, amazing.
Wonderful.
A disoriented monkey was found wandering aimlessly outside an IKEA store in North York Sunday. The animal sighting quickly spawned a flurry of activity among Torontonians, who tweeted and retweeted pictures and created at least two parody accounts on Twitter. God bless you, Torontonians. Dressed in a shearling coat and a diaper, the monkey managed to open its crate, unlock the car door, and go for a stroll in the IKEA parking lot. Clearly a, quote, smart monkey for having managed all that, said Toronto Police Staff Sergeant Ed, Dzingala. The monkey was ushered into a corner of the store by IKEA employees and police until animal services arrived. The monkey was unharmed, although it was a bit alarmed with all the attention, police said. Quote, it was pretty scared. It was a tame monkey, Sergeant Dzingala said. Nobody got hurt. The monkey was a little scared. That's all. Thankfully.
Hope they gave it some meatballs.
Are you right? Monkeys eat meat? I don't know.
I think they're omnivores.
Right?
Right?
A city. So.
Anyway.
Maybe not. I don't. Anyway, the city of Toronto spokesman said the monkey is a rhesus macaw. Macaque. I may be saying that very wrong.
A macaw.
Macaw. Macaque. Macaque. Macaw's bird. Anyway.
Yeah, macaw's a bird.
Yeah, macaque. A species that is illegal in Ontario. Steve Johnston said charges were laid against the owner. An offense notice, which has a set fine of $240, which seems very, very low for having a prohibited animal in the
lenient
city. Yeah, that's like that's basically Texas.
An illegal monkey. You can afford the fine.
Right. The monkey caused quite a stir at the IKEA store Sunday afternoon as shoppers out to pick up Christmas presents or furniture couldn't help but be drawn to the incident. Lisa Lynn, an Aurora resident, had just arrived at IKEA around Leslie Street and Highway 4:01 Sunday afternoon to make some returns and purchase Christmas cards. When she noticed the activity, she immediately snapped a picture of the monkey and later posted on Instagram. Quote, "It was pretty surreal," said Miss Lynn, 30. I thought, is that a real monkey? Who brings a monkey to IKEA? Bronwyn Page. Yes. Hence the bad idea. Bronwyn Page, Toronto resident, was at IKEA buying a Christmas tree when she noticed the monkey. She said the small animal seemed nervous as it was surrounded by a large group of people and made screeching noises. She tweeted her picture of the monkey, which instantly went viral on Twitter. Miss Page received interview requests from media outlets across the city of her experience. She said, quote, "I'm glad I took a picture. The day has taken a big turn. I didn't expect it." The monkey was still with Toronto Animal Services Sunday night. A woman who answered the phone at Animal Services said the monkey was, quote, "good to go, keeping warm and no longer scared by the new surroundings." And with that, folks, I give you 10 minutes to make something good of this bad.
I think we found the reincarnation of Hunter S. Thompson, like, apart from whatever idea we come up with, right?
Yeah. Well, so I'm a little bit kind of like, we're going to come up with the story here and it's going to be good, he said with great confidence. But before we do that, I want to just like be a fly on the wall on, because they specify like, not like, oh, all monkeys are illegal in Ontario, but like this one specific species.
Reyes kind macaques. Of monkey. Macaques.
That's I wanted like to be a fly on the wall the day that the government sat down and someone was like, "All right, guys, this has gone long
enough. Yes,
it's time to figure
yeah.
out which monkeys are legal and which monkeys are not legal in this great land of ours." And they just like
I think you need to look at the Toronto Zoo is a big driver of tourism, right? So I think you need to look at the zoo lobby there.
That's right. That's right.
And they don't they don't want private citizens horning in on their. I'm broken. American politics has broken me. We should not do that.
All right. Putting that into the vault. We'll talk about it some other time. For now, let's talk about this very stylish monkey and its adventures. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is there's already a movie where like a secret agent is turned into an animal and has to do secret agent things, which would be my go-to.
Is that Spies in Disguise?
Spies in Disguise. Nice, yeah. Nice. For you know, a stylish monkey out of place. So I don't know what we want to do with this.
So yeah, so I think that there's kind of like a couple of old standbys for something like this. There is family somehow ends up with kind of exotic animal as pet. Mm-hmm. And it's okay as long as they keep it secret. But one day the exotic animal is accidentally
the Mr. Popper's penguins.
Exactly. Is ejected out of the house and needs to find his way back in. And that's like, you know, your kind of Toy Story Secret Life of Pets kind of model. This would probably be animated. The monkey would talk. He would befriend a like streets-wise alley cat in the streets of Ontario, you know, like that's I think one option. Mm-hmm. I think another option is, you know, the monkey has in his coat somehow the codes to the nuclear sub. And so then it's kind of like a race for all of these different people. Like, you know, the police are after the monkey, but the secret agents are after the monkey. The mob is after the monkey. The like, you know, evil secret organization is after the monkey. And it's kind of this like comedy of errors as all of these like very important, very serious, very dangerous people all are like trying to knock each other out of the way to try to get the monkey. And then I think that the key is that you need to have like, who's like a really, like you need to have like Vin Diesel playing like the cop that is charged with getting this monkey back.
And no, that's a Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's absolutely, absolutely. For sure. You are 100% correct. I stand totally corrected. Yes. But you know,
now, before we go down this road, which I am always down to go with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, there is the third Ratatouille option where this monkey has always really wanted to be an interior designer.
Right.
And comes across a hapless employee at IKEA who is like the son or the daughter or the child of, you know, this famous architect, and like their friendship turning this IKEA into a success kind of a thing.
The cages in which he grew up, like, you know, like the instead of putting down newspaper at the bottom, They mm-hmm. put down like pages of Vogue or something. And so this monkey right. just like had a very yeah. developed sense of aesthetics.
Someone had spilled water all over like a Frank Lloyd Wright collection and uh-huh. the book was ruined. So they used
to. This is good. I think it's important that we keep the stylish but illegal.
I mean, that's the title of the movie.
Right. Stylish but illegal.
Stylish but illegal.
1,000%.
Right. And so this monkey kind of has like ambitions of one day kind of being like an artist in human terms. Mm-hmm, he doesn't just want to be a circus clown.
It is Banksy.
Wow.
He's got all those monkeys.
We solved it, guys.
I mean, I think that we can combine these two, though. Like, we can kind of have this monkey that is trying to pursue their artistic ambitions despite the many sizable obstacles
right.
in mm-hmm. front of him. But as soon as he escapes from wherever he's supposed to be, Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing a, like, take yes. no prisoners, Javert of a police officer is dispatched and just, like, takes it as seriously as he would if he was hunting down, you know, Jack the Ripper, like, you know, reborn. He is this, like, implacable force of police-ness that just is, like, searching for this animal.
Can he be, like, a zoo cop? Not, like, a real cop, but, like...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
He can be, like, one of the guys... He can be, like, the dog catcher.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
Wait.
Uh-huh.
So you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is like animal control, like yes. he works for the city of Toronto. But then, because Canada, you also have the sort of hapless, put upon zoo police played by Nathan Fillion.
Oh, God.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
And they're in a race to catch this monkey.
Is it a race or is it a not at all buddy cop situation where they both get assigned on the case and they hate each other as they try
I think it's a race
both.
And I think I want to up the stakes on, because the reason this monkey is able to formulate such ambitions is because it escaped uh-huh. from an advanced research lab which was exploring uh-huh. evolutionary whatever, and so this is no ordinary ape. This is like a sort of like missing link, you know, sort of Jurassic Park experiment that's like, you know, aspiring to be an artiste in a society in which it actually can comprehend.
No, guys, I've got it.
Okay.
Like I have a yes,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, sure.
I have a yes, but. The monkey has been part of a like clinical trial for some mm-hmm. new antiviral drug.
I see.
Disease is still incubating inside of him. And so if they don't bring him back to the lab in like 10 days or whatever, he's going to become wildly, dangerously contagious. Meanwhile, the monkey's like, I just need one big success for people to understand me. I just need to go viral once. And then, you know, people will really respect me as an artist. And you just kind of have it, you know, like, it's like, well, this monkey's going to go viral one way or another.
I love it. I love the race against time aspect of it. And obviously, he will have a huge success at the moment he becomes wildly contagious.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how we land that plane.
And of course, then he has like all these dreams about like, I want to go to the gallery opening and shake everyone's hands mm-hmm. and kiss the babies and slap the people on the back. And, you know, like get my champagne glass confused with the Minister of Cultures. All of these glamorous party things.
And here's what we do, because I think this is still a kid's movie. It's still going to have a good moral, is that the monkey is going to have an incredible success. But what he has learned from his time with his street alley cat friends.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
who have been like more of a family and more artistically supportive of him in the past 10 days than like all of those idiots, the stuck up snobs back at the lab ever were. But he is going to recognize his responsibility to them and to the community and go back to the lab and have to socially distance.
Boom.
Do all the stuff.
I love it.
This, we shouldn't do this, but if the disease or the virus had anything to do with his super intelligence, the entire world gets infected with super intelligence and we stop warring.
Wow.
But no, that's too happy of an ending.
I like the ambition of it. I like the
scope.
I don't
know how I feel about that. It's very ambitious.
Let's be real. The fact that we fight has very little to do with how smart or not we are.
This is true.
So we have 20 seconds left. What are some other set pieces?
I think that he probably, like, at some point goes to some gallery opening that he's, like, very excited about, but finds it all, mm-hmm. like, very underwhelming once he's there. Yes. Like, kind of one of these, like, he had this dream of how amazing it was going to be. But, like, once he gets there, it's like, nah.
It's really kind of lame.
Yeah. And the fact that these gallery attendants are just, like, chasing him all over the place, it's a real mood killer. I can't even enjoy, like, you know.
Well, I think it's got to be, like, the people are awful, but, like, the getting chased around is kind of fun.
And yeah. That's time.
Wait, just one last thing. Yeah, there has to be at least one set piece of him and 5 to 9 of the street cats dressed up in a trench coat, pretending to be a human being. Like, there has to be at least one, like, you know, like, animal
percent.
Thing. Right.
They've got like a streetwise raccoon friend. Who sort of is the judge of their, and like coaches them on how to be human.
Right. I've wanted to do this for years.
I love this.
Amazing.
Adorable.
Amazing.
Well, thank you for taking this very, very cute, very ultimately tragic monkey and turning into a very, very charming, family-friendly story.
Stylish but Illegal, coming to Disney Plus on November 2023.
Well, we're going to go talk to the execs over at Disney Plus, but when we get back, we'll have another bad idea for you. Hello, dear listeners. Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief announcement. Are you a big fan of No Bad Ideas? Would you like to be among the few, the proud, the brave, the Patreon supporters of this series and help us keep our lights on here at No Bad Ideas HQ? If so, head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support to be transported to our Patreon page where you can sign up to give a monthly contribution. In return, you can get some sweet rewards, such as more bad ideas. In return, you can get access to some sweet bonuses, like our timeless archive, as well as bonus patron-exclusive bad ideas. Once more, you can learn more and check all that out at www.nobadideaspodcast.com/support. All right, let's get back to the show.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to No Bad Ideas. We are back for another helping of human poor decision making that we're going to try to turn into a satisfying, well-structured narrative meal. Are you guys ready to go on a trip to nowhere?
Very quickly.
I mean, that's described the last 10 months of my life, so yes.
Oh, yes. Well, so a little while ago on this show, we did a story about an Australian airline.
Oh, yeah.
That was offering passengers
flights to nowhere. Right.
Right. Flights were, it was literally a flight to nowhere. You just got on the plane. You kind of, you know, rode around for a couple of hours and then they left you
for
back.
For 7 hours.
Excuse me. Yes. Yeah. For what seems like a rather unpleasantly long 7 hours, all to just end up exactly where you started. I think that this is kind of a companion piece to that story. Kind
lovely.
Of a
okay.
little yin to that yang.
Cool.
But from Sky News, and dear listeners, anyone that would like to, you can find a link to this article in the episode description if you'd like to read along. The headline reads, "Man lived in Chicago airport in secret for 3 months."
I saw this movie.
As virus made him too scared to fly home.
Oh no.
Oh no, I didn't see that movie. Jesus.
That's right. Okay, yeah, no, it sounds like that heartwarming Steven Spielberg movie, The Terminal, until
with Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yep.
Great movie.
Charming.
The article itself reads, a 36-year-old man lived undetected in a secure section of Chicago's O'Hare International Airport for 3 months. Makes you feel very good about Chicago's O'Hare's International Airport security.
I've been there. This tracks.
Because he was too scared to go home due to COVID-19, U.S. prosecutors said. Aditya Singh is charged with a felony criminal trespass to a restricted area of an airport and misdemeanor theft. According to police, he arrived in Chicago on a flight from Los Angeles on October 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Singh, who survived on food from other passengers, is unemployed and lives in the city of Orange, California. It is unclear why he was in Chicago. Cook County Judge Susana Ortiz reacted with surprise when a prosecutor set out the allegations, according to the Chicago Tribune. She reportedly told the court, "So, if I understand you correctly, you're telling me that an unauthorized, non-employee individual was allegedly living in a secure part of the O'Hare Airport terminal from October 19th to January 16th and was not detected. I want to understand you correctly."
Yeah.
Big points to this judge for this delightful shade. On Saturday, two employees from United Airlines were said to have approached Mr. Singh and asked for his identification. Assistant State Attorney Kathleen Haggerty said he lowered his face mask before showing them an airport ID badge, which he had repeatedly found, and said he was scared to go home due to COVID. The badge belonged to an operations manager who had reported it missing on October 26th. Assistant Public Defender Courtney Smallwood said Mr. Singh does not have a criminal background and has a master's degree in hospitality.
Oh my God.
And said the unusual allegations were not in any way violent, reported the Tribune. If he's able to post the $1,000 for bail, Mr. Singh will be barred from entering the airport.
Gotta fly out of Midway.
Yeah. Judge Ortiz added, "The court finds these facts and circumstances quite shocking for the alleged period of time that this occurred." The Chicago Department of Aviation said that while the incident remains under investigation, it has been able to determine that this gentleman did not pose a security risk to the airport or to the traveling public.
Wow. I feel like he should get off just for having pulled it off. Like, that's just like...
Oh. I want to be very crystal clear that, like, the bad idea here is someone being able to do this for months without not getting caught.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's no shade on him, all the shade on the airport.
Well, it just exposes, like, the security theater of U.S. airports.
Absolutely.
Right.
In a way that is unsurprising and really hats off to him, man.
Unsurprising, but unfortunate. But yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the clock is ticking. Where would you like to take this gentleman who did not go anywhere for a very long time?
I mean, I would just like a... what is the name of that really nerve-wracking documentary about the dude who walks on wires between buildings in New York City?
Man on Wire,
Man
I believe
on Wire,
is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yes. Which is why I need to think of it. Because I was like, within the wires? No, that's a podcast.
Yeah, right. Very good podcast. Highly recommend
it. It's a very good podcast. But I want like that level of tension and danger, but about this dude living in the airport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is how, like, if someone handed me a suitcase of money and told me to tell this guy's story, that is how I would go about it. Of just like the amount of danger in flashing this security badge that has been reported missing, but you want to get some free like chicken nugs because it's all you're going to eat today. Like, I just want like the incremental step by step of how he spent 3 months in this place. But that's probably isn't what we should do for, you know, turning this into a story. So I'm curious what you're thinking, Zach.
Right. So a couple of things immediately occur to me. One is, what if there's somebody who can live there for that long? Like, I imagine there might be a network of people that like live underneath the airport terminal, and it's just sort of like this underground rebel world. Then there's
fuck underneath, just like in the middle among, of it, like among, hiding in plain sight. Yeah,
right. And then there's like my mind goes to The Prisoner, where there's this world of like the airport is run by the people who hide among, because that's how they're able to get away with it for so long.
There is something very surreal about that, about like, you know, like, and the secret agent gets captured, he gets sent to an airport, and it's just like, this is the prison. And he's like, and what? It's like, well, sooner or later, you're going to get on a flight. Just look at the board. And yeah, and like, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, delay until all of a sudden, on time. It's like, oh, fuck, what happens when you get on the plane?
You go on a flight to nowhere and go right back to the airport. I like this. Do we want to make it more secret to agency, or more like this is how vampires actually live in the real world, or like something fantastical of like, oh, they're all at the airport because it's this liminal space where you can sort of exist in transition. Once you're past the security checkpoint, like you can kind of just be there.
And here I think is perhaps the thing to kind of like zero in on, because you know, you hear the story and exactly kind of like what you said, Zach, at the top of this, the first thing that comes to mind is the terminal. And I think the big difference there is in the terminal, everyone is aware that Tom Hanks is living there, or at least like all the airport staff is kind of aware that he's in that situation. Here, this guy was like hiding, like it was, you know, sort of undercover.
It was secret. Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so I think it's kind of one of these like, you know, is this someone that is living in the airport? Is the airport aware, or is the conflict, we're going to get caught, whether it's one person or many people, like, you know, sort of like, are they hiding from like the airport as an institution?
Right. I mean, there's like just something that I love about like somebody who thinks they've snuck in and then they like wake up and there's a badge that like with their photo, like on top of them, they're like, what's going on? Like what, where did that come? And just like slowly but surely they end up like at the top of the tower where like air traffic control happens, and it's empty except for like one figure who's like slowly swiveling, and it's them in the chair. It's
you
like,
just
want to
remake The Prisoner in an airport.
Yeah, I just want to remake The Prisoner in an airport. And like, I recently saw Tenet, and I love this, like, you know, like quality of like, this doesn't make any sense. No, it makes perfect sense if you don't think about it. Okay, let's move on.
I want to split the difference between the idea that we were given and Tenet, which is, let's say that the people who secretly live in this airport are aware that they're not in prison, and the airport staff, who are not the same group as these people, are aware of them. But like, I think the conflict in that case would be maybe like budget cuts. The airport might be shutting down, and so these people have to like make the airport more efficient or do something to help it stay open, and so that they can keep living there.
All right. I dig it.
Okay.
So it's almost then kind of like, you know, like one of those movies where like the kids have to like keep up like the sand lot where they play baseball or something, you know, it's kind of this like, you know, like we all depend on this place. Like now the place is threatened.
Yeah, exactly. And if like, you know, this is, you know, we can bring back your delay board. And if this airport doesn't pick up its efficiency level, then it's going to get, you know, major airline is going to move their hub away from it or whatever. And so you have a group of people who are living in this airport and are not necessarily affiliated, like they don't work there, they're just sort of hiding, then have to sort of step up and like, why, yes, hello, I am your friendly TSA agent, hello, yes, I am air traffic control, and like sort of make it fix the airport.
Right, suddenly the teller who's like doing that like endless typing is actually just endlessly typing because they don't know how to use the terminal and they're just trying to buy time.
But then they get good at it.
Right.
Here's a question. What caliber of airport is this happening? Like, because like O'Hare.
That's a good question. I feel like
very big modern airport.
I feel like this, you know, is it happening somewhere small? New shape of the idea works better in a smaller market. like the
sound. Either that or weirdly De Gaulle would also work.
Right. Right. You either have to go really big or really small.
But let's do really small because I think that's more in line with sort of the structure of these kinds of stories.
Right.
You know, this can be, and I don't think it needs to be like out in the middle of the sticks. It could be like, because I flew out of there from college, Hartford's airport, or like, you know, Knoxville has an airport, like a medium sized city.
Like I think Santa Fe, New Mexico has like a fairly small airport. Like it feels like a bus terminal a little bit in terms of its like layout and size. And so
and I think we want it to be slightly bigger because then there's, you know,
more room
for
to hide.
To
right.
But like Albuquerque's airport, you know.
Sure. Right. Like maybe somewhere that has like, you know, like 12 terminals as opposed to, or not terminals, 12 gates.
Yeah.
With one terminal
as opposed to
kind of
like,
you know.
Two gates.
And you have the obligatory scene with like the dude on the runway with those like light up sticks who's like got a YouTube video on their iPad propped up on the floor in front of them where they're like miming along with it. And it's like, it's all working out.
Excellent. Okay. So then the antagonist is kind of like whatever is going to cause the airport to close, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the antagonist is often here on No Bad Ideas is capitalism.
Indeed. Capitalism and lazy bureaucracy, because I imagine whoever is running the airport and isn't good at it, maybe has a financial interest in it closing or wants the airport to work.
Their insurance will pay out a bundle if the airport closes. So whatever.
You can make more money on a flop than with a hit.
You can make more money with a flop than with a flight.
Right.
There we go. That's the tagline.
Jesus.
He's also involved.
To offer something more specific than the broad brush of capitalism, I would say a faceless corporate greed.
Sure.
Love it. Cool. So tell me a little bit about the main character, what he does, what his kind of like personal arc is, how he evolves, and then how it ends in the next 12 seconds, please. 8 seconds.
I think we should just settle on like what these characters are. And I'm going to go with pixies.
Perfect. That's it. That's the last word, because that is time. They are pixies. That's
excellent.
It.
Wow.
Canon. Done. Oh, boy. I don't blame this poor guy. LA
is
bad right now.
I don't blame him one bit.
Not
like,
for
honestly.
A second. In fact, I hold him in high regard. Like,
bro, no. And like,
bro, you did a thing.
No, and like, in all seriousness, like, I genuinely hope that this guy is all right. I hope that, like, you know, he's able to like get through this without a lot of problems and like be able to like get home and be safe.
For God's sake, somebody make this man rich by buying the movie rights.
Seriously. Because come on, like, didn't you hear what just happened? This was a great romp through.
Based on real events.
Again, we just got off the phone with the execs at Disney Plus, but I think we should get them back on because let's get them back on.
Let's see if they'll take another one of our calls.
Paramount's launching a streaming service. We can work the board.
Okay.
Let's strategize for a second. But let's take this offline until next week when we'll be back for another set of bad ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.